cliffcentral.com. Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly, money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the Ad-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. What's up? It's your boy, G-Man, the Ad Man. We're back. It's another beautiful Wednesday. It's been another dope week of advertising. I've got a really dope show for you today. It's been some really cool. You know what I mean? It's been a while. I remember in the very, very beginning. I think it might have been like the fifth or sixth show. We had some clients in the stew, and that's happening again today. I mean, I want to introduce you to my guest later at some point. But we got a client in the studio with us today. You know what I mean? All those client related questions that you kind of thought that you had. Stop preparing those. And you can email those, you can tweet those to me. That's at Blaxem, it's at BLAXEM or at cliffcentral.com. And then I'll be throwing them to my guests. Hopefully they're not crazy. If they're too crazy, I'm just not gonna ask them. You know what I mean? Because I know you guys have got stuff that you've been like holding in your chest because of the last client meeting you went to, and a lot of things that just happened that you're not sure what was going on. But let's get into that. You know what I mean? I'm going to catch you up a little bit on some of the stuff that's happened in the past week or so. Things have been happening. There've been some account moves. There've been some big account wins. That beautiful conversation about those ads. You know the type of ads I'm talking about. That conversation has resurfaced. And we'll be having a... I mean, the conversation has become robust and robust as fuck. People talking about, you know, why we're still jiving in adverts. And I mean, I've bumped into a bunch of people in the past week or so. And the conversation is like, it's actually reached the point where people have like, it's beyond bemusing now. It's gotten to the place where everyone's just like, guys, but what the fuck? What the actual fuck? So, I mean, we're not going to labor on that again today because the people who are doing the wrong thing, they know they're doing the wrong thing. And it's not, you know, we don't have to keep reminding them that they're doing the wrong thing. But it's important that they know that they're doing the wrong thing. So I'm going to leave that alone for a little bit. Let's chat about what else is happening in the land of adverts. So, you know, I've been telling you guys about how how cliffcentral.com is a partner of the Luris. And I got it right this time. I didn't say sponsor. You know, it's a partner of the Luris. So that's what's up. And what's going to be happening is Facebook. Facebook has become the Luris has announced the Facebook category. In addition to the student category, which is the Facebook category. So it's really dope, you know, because Facebook. They're going to be more prevalent at the show. They're sponsors of that show, but Facebook is going to be one of those. You know, when there's always that guy who says, there were no gold Luris awarded in this category. This time, he's going to be, you know, a guy who's going to say, this award, the student category is sponsored by Facebook. So it's going to be dope. So essentially what it is you're going to be, you have to submit a maximum of 3 finished mobile-friendly videos for use on Facebook or Instagram. Now I'm not sure what that means yet, but what is cool is that next week sometime we're gonna get somebody from Facebook or from the category to come talk to us about what this means. But I'm just gonna let you know what's going on. You know what I mean? You guys can know what's going on, and then right next week you will have questions and you'll be able to ask this person. So the entries for the Facebook challenge must include a description of the idea and insights, how the problem was solved creatively. This overview must be submitted in an electronic format. And for that, you have to check the preparation guidelines on the Facebook category under the Louis website. So that's dope. Read those rules properly, guys. We don't want a repeat of what happened a couple of years ago, where the rules were not read and people won, and then they had to return things. No one likes to return things. We know that, and we also know that every time you've had to return things. Especially the awards. Yeah, it's never nice. So read those rules carefully, and then we should be fine. So once again, remember, the entry deadline for this year's Louis is the 15th of May. The entry deadline is the 15th of May. And the Louis Creative Week takes place from the 14th to the 20th of August. That's this year. Like I said last week again, you know, it's like you know that it's the first deadline. There's going to be an extension, you know. But I mean, once again, you're gonna pay. You know, if there's an extension, you're going to pay more. So try to get your entries in as quickly as possible. Get your entries signed off by the client, guys, before then, so that we don't have things that happened before. And I'm also saying this because the client is in the studio with me, you know what I mean? So I'm saying all the responsible things that supposedly we all get up to. I know we all get up to. But let's do that. So that's dope. That's it about Facebook and the Louis. So good luck to you guys for the Louis, for your Louis entries. So Africa Ben is on right now. This show is about advertising and branding. So it would be remiss of me to not talk about Africa Ben because that's where all the advertising people. But you know, I mean, I say all the advertising people, but it's where all the white people of advertising go around this time of the year. Africa Ben. It always amazes me that I've never heard that there was a police raid at Africa Ben, because I've seen the imagery there, you know, people scantily clad and just, you know, empty looks in their eyes, you know. And I've heard some of the stories that happened at Africa Ben. So if you are going to Africa Ben or if you are at Africa Ben, take care, because I mean, now that I've spoken about it on the show, now it's popular, now the police are gonna know that Africa Ben exists. So there might be a raid next year, but this year, enjoy this year, because next year there's probably going to be a raid where they're going to be looking for all that good stuff that gets to be taken at Africa Pen. So that's cool, enjoy that. That's dope. Let's move swiftly along from conversations about illegal substances. So I actually saw this other thing now on Facebook. It was on YouTube, actually, this campaign by Jet, right, from Joe Public. So that's what's up. What's going on, Mr. Kolisa Chashana? That's what's up. And it's called the Jet for Moms campaign, right? So they created a campaign. They say that it allows moms to indulge in a rare moment off while showing off the great quality fashionable products that Jet has for their little ones this winter. So what happens is that this ad, right? So essentially this guy, topless, this guy, and he's essentially helping ladies. Yeah. Thanks. You know, let me do this. Let me introduce my guest first, because maybe she can actually weigh in on this conversation as well. So in the studio with me, is somebody that you know, some of you might know. She's been in the industry for a little bit. Very knowledgeable lady. And you'll know her, like, if you ever walked the corridors of that multi-choice building back in the day, you might have encountered her. But I mean, she's gonna kind of break down all that stuff for us later when we get into who she is and what she's about. But now she's now applying a trade somewhere else. She's the senior marketing manager at BBC Worldwide. And this Miss Cherise Latif. What's up, Cherise?
Hey, how are you?
What's going on? How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, man, that's dope. Yeah, no. We're gonna get into all the stuff. That's you, you know. But for now, I mean, I wanna chat about, like, so I've started this new thing, right? So what I've been doing is getting into the new stuff, but like asking my guests, like, kind of what do you think of some of this stuff? So this campaign, this Jet campaign, right? So what happens, apparently, is this guy, he's topless, he's just wearing jeans. Right? You're making a face. And he's just wearing jeans, but he talks about, like, baby clothes. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm. But like in a way that's designed to make women happy. You know what I mean? So, because that's actually what they say in the article. You know, they're like, no, this stuff is for moms who can feel like they're showing off the great quality, but also moms can indulge in a rare moment.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So what this would be like for me is, like, it would be the equivalent of, like, if you had like a lady, like, dressed in a bikini, selling like guy sneakers.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So like, but so
But he's selling kids' clothes.
Yeah, yeah, fine, okay. He's selling kids' clothes. But they're saying that they're aiming this at women, right? Because the women are going to go buy the kids' clothes, right? Okay. So here's what I want to know. Like, does it feel like, I don't want to say hypocrisy because that's a very bad word and I don't want to get in trouble. But like, women, we're constantly talking about how, you know, the objectification of women to sell products, right? Mm. Do you think that this is objectification of men to sell products?
Okay, so Joe Public's the
agency,
right?
Come close to the mic, sorry. Yeah, sorry. We're hanging out. We're hanging out for a while.
So Joe Public's the agency, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got to be careful what we say.
Yeah. Woo, Sharice!
And I mean, is it in spirit of Mother's Day?
It's in the spirit of just, you know, like women who are raising kids have a tough time, right?
Okay.
So take a moment off.
I really didn't want to go here.
So take a moment off and enjoy, you know. And they even say here that they've got this, the, I forget what the actor's name is. And they say, oh, they're very beautiful. Oh, there it goes. Challenging cast of 8 little superstar babies and one very good looking Mr. Fezzy Lemkize that they worked with. You know what I mean? So they've got a guy who obviously for the good looking side of it.
I can see what the brief was.
Yeah.
I can see what the brief was. The brief was, we don't want to go the roses route and the pink cards and the, you know, fuzzy warm feeling of Mother's Day and celebrating women. We want something different. And
that's what I'm saying.
That was as different as it could come.
It's celebrating women. That's it, right? It's celebrating women. But at the same time, it's also like, you know, objective. You know what I mean? But also at the same time, I'll be honest with you. Like, I didn't think, you know, for every reason, I mean, let's also stay straight. I must make sure I'm saying this comment right.
Yeah.
I feel like it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if we've objectified women for this long in advertising, you know what I mean? Like one little jab is allowed, no?
I haven't seen the campaign. Yeah. I should probably have a look. I will now.
Yeah.
I'll go into Jet randomly and check what's going on. I haven't seen the campaign, but I mean, in my head, I'm visualizing it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. In fact, I don't think if you walk into Woolworths today or any other department store, you're probably going to find a woman in lingerie.
In the lingerie department. How?
I mean, it's not my fault you guys don't wear lingerie.
So,
you know, it's, and to be honest, women are never going to stop being objectified.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's probably becoming worse. It's just that there's a light on it now, which means we're more aware of it. But has it stopped? No, it's probably become more common.
But don't you think that we've become more aware of it so much that we feel like, you know, now like when people respond to a brief and they say, we open on two cheeks in panties, and you're gonna say, no guys, come on man, come on, there must be another way to sell this stuff, you know, because look how people are selling oatmeal, people are selling everything, you know what I mean? And like, I've always thought that there has to be a way where, like, and I mean, I won't mention radio stations by name, but there's another radio station where, you know, that they do the advertising in-house, right? And almost all the ads, there's a sexual innuendo, and you're like, oh guys, come on. I mean, not everything is, you know, sleep your way to the middle. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
I don't know what radio station you're talking
about. Yeah, no, I'm not going to mention names either. But I mean, it rhymes with 702. Anyway, so then there was another thing. I want to chat about another thing, right? So there was a thing on social media, and it's a Nando's billboard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, we are streetwise too. Shout out, Mr. Kulisa Jashana. I don't know if you had anything to do with that.
No, that's great. Well done.
And I would like for you to give us a phone call and let us know what happens, guys, in the corridors of Joe Public. You know, you guys are coming up with things with guys who are topless, and you also are taking KFC, an institution.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a part of those chicken wars. but what do you think of that? You think that's cool?
I think that's
too far?
No, not at all. I think we need more of that in the industry. We need to be more daring. We need to take it on a little bit more.
Yeah.
South Africans are quite, you know, we're still quite, we're in a comfort zone.
Yeah.
We don't go out to the battlefield and really go out to the battlefield. We kind of keep it safe, you know?
I like that. I like hearing this from the client, guys. The client says we keep it too safe. I mean, so what you don't know is that, Cherise will explain this to us later. Friends of the show, The Odd Number, work with Cherise a lot. So guys, so thank you. You can thank me for the client publicly declaring that she wants you to be more daring. So that's what's up.
I tell them that all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Guys, this is exactly why I brought you here today, because of some of these things that we have to debunk, these myths about clients and how you guys do things on the other side, that, you know, like a lot of time we're all going,
I wonder what happens when they get to the office, because we have these great meetings with them and everything feels like it's going to go well. And then, like, you know, but we'll get into that. So that's cool. So another thing that's happened is that the King James Group, right? So Alistair King and them cats, right? They just won the AB InBev Global Brand piece of business. I mean, how fucking insane is that? So that's what's up. Shout out to the guys at King James. I know that there's an office in Cape Town and we've got an office in Joburg. But how dope is that? I mean, once again, we'll get into what you do. But the idea of a global brand working out of South Africa, that's a big deal, right?
Amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to know like how big you think that is for the industry itself, like for the South African industry.
You know what? I think, firstly, South African creatives, yeah, I don't think get the props they deserve.
That's what's up.
I work with the position that I hold. I work with both international and local creatives.
Right.
And international agencies as well. Mm. And a lot of the time, the international agencies are kind of put on a pedestal.
Right, and you're expected
to love the work no matter what.
Yeah.
And so many times I've kind of sat back and said, no, but
no ways.
I know the locals can do better.
That's great.
And when I see the local work, you're like, oh my God.
There it is.
Exactly. And I think we're going to see a lot more international companies using local agencies, whether it's through their local offices country or whether it's just coming in. The other advantage that we do have is that our advertising costs in South Africa
are
much lower than that of a global scale.
Heesh. Why want a chunk status? Why want a chunk?
Come on. I wasn't saying that.
No, I'm kidding. But I know exactly what you mean.
I mean, I'm experiencing it at the moment.
Yeah.
Where you take the production, the exact same production on an international, with an international agency, yeah, and a local agency, and it's worlds apart.
Really, yeah.
Completely. And the work is not, it's a global standard.
Yeah, yeah.
We are delivering global standard.
That's what's up. I think that's really, really great, man. I think that's fantastic. And I mean, obviously the guys at AB InBev think so as well, because, you know, they've appointed a local agency and there's been a trend, you know. I think I heard that Ogilvy in Cape Town, yeah, got a piece of like some international work, and all these conversations have been popping up now, South Africans doing international work. So I think that can only all go well for us, guys. So dopeness, dope shit, guys. It'll be interesting to see what kind of work you guys do for the guys at AB InBev. I know Corona is a part of that stable. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens there. But I mean, I just like the fact that, you know, we've got the word global in there. You know what I mean? That we're starting to look beyond just, you know, within our borders. But I also think that it's a great opportunity for us to export the brand of advertising that we do and the levels that Cherise is talking about. Of the advertising that we do to the rest of the world. So I think that's really, really dope. Yeah, so well done to all those people. I also read somewhere that the DNAD awards have kind of started. So I'm not going to go through everything right now, but I know that some people already started winning some things. I think FCB Africa winning some stuff. So shout out to you guys. I think I saw that Ogilvy as well has already won some stuff. So shout out to you guys. But we're going to have a comprehensive catch up on all that once all the results have come out. But well done, guys. You guys are working hard, man. You guys are working real hard. But yeah, let's hope that that's dope and it was of real briefs. Anyway, so let's carry on. I'm going to chat to Cherise now because, like I always say every week, like the hour seems to like fly by.
Yeah.
So I want to start as early as possible to kind of get your view on things and all that. And also, like, you know, for the people out there to meet you, to know what you do. You know what I mean? How long have you been doing this whole thing? But I mean, the first time I encountered, okay, wait, but before you get into that, I want you to know, once again, guys, you can get a hold of us on Twitter. That's at Blexem. That's at BLAXEM. For your questions or your comments for Cherise Latif, the senior marketing manager. That's what's up. The senior marketing manager at BBC Worldwide. Or you can hit me up on Facebook. That's at Grant Stoller on Facebook. But hit me up. We got a lot of time to hang out. So the first time I encountered Cherise, right, was I was working at another place at my previous existence. And you know, it was one of those meetings, you know, it was actually my first meeting with these people, and we have a big boardroom full of, don't cough, it's okay. Oh man. And it was at MultiChoice. From that time, I kind of got the sense that, you know, wow, you know, this lady does something really, really important here. So tell us, Cherise, I mean, where did all this start for you?
Yeah. So I mean, well, we probably met what 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Yeah, about three years ago. Yeah,
3 years ago. At that time, I was probably brand manager or marketing manager at DSTV.
Yeah,
I was looking after DSTV Compact.
That's what's up.
Before that, I was working alongside Matteo Mattel.
Okay.
We launched DSTV Mobile.
Hello. Hello, that's what's up.
Which I know.
Big shout out, Mattel. What's up?
So I mean, my career had a bit of a slow start.
Yeah.
You know, I graduated from UJ BCom Marketing Management.
Right.
A couple of years at MTN Junior, and then moved to MultiChoice, where we launched DSTV Mobile. Later
with Constantine Ponyan as well, right?
Yeah.
Hey, shout out, Papi. What's going on? It was his birthday recently.
Shout out, Papi.
What's going on?
And Mateus. Yeah.
Big shout out. Happy birthday, Mateus. What's up?
So I was at DSTV Mobile with those guys. We launched the product.
Yeah.
Later on, we all three moved across to DSTV.
Right.
I looked after DSTV Compact, and I think that's where my passion and love for the middle emerging market came from. I kind of jumped into the deep end. I had the choice of going premium or compact.
Right.
And I was advised to actually try something different, try something you don't know.
That's true.
Because
premium would have been attractive, right?
And would be an obvious choice.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Of course, everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I followed the advice and I went for the compact. I went the compact route.
Oh, that's dope.
And that's where I also met Spoo.
Yeah. Shout out to Odd Number.
Yeah. But that was way before we had any vision of
yes,
anything.
Yes, yes, yes.
And worked on compact stuff, which was really great.
Yeah.
Took me completely out of my comfort zone.
Really?
Completely. I mean, working on Vernac spots.
Yeah.
You know, these guys come in and they're presenting a Vernac spot, and you have to approve this.
Yeah.
translation, you know, so it was difficult.
Yeah.
But
isn't that a big part of the trust relationship that you
exactly.
get to build with the agency?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that trust is exactly what led me to where we are today.
Oh, that's dope, man.
You know, and I mean, when I was at DSTV Compact, obviously working quite a bit with Spoo, quite closely, he was the ECD on the account or the CD on the account.
Yeah.
And you know, I really loved the work he was doing.
Yeah.
I loved what they came up with. The guys from I See a Different You, we
yeah.
did a lot of stuff with them as well before they moved.
Other friends
well.
Of the show. What's up, I See a Different You? Yeah.
And I've always had big respect for them, but I was still quite new in the industry, you know.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot from Spoo, especially when it came to this advertising thing.
Yeah.
I learned a lot
from him. It's a beast, this advertising thing. Yeah?
It is.
Yeah.
It's not fun and games.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder why I didn't become a brain surgeon.
Yeah.
So
probably as much fun as well, but you don't get to go to Africa Pen.
Yeah. Or Lurie's.
Yeah, or Lurie's. Yeah, which is like Africa Pen, just, you know, with more clothes.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. Yeah.
Anyway. And then obviously I became marketing manager at DSTV, and then soon after that I decided to make the move to an international brand.
Whoa.
And decided I'm gonna head up marketing for the BBC.
That is insane.
Literally.
That is insane. It is dope and insane at the same time. I think that's so crazy.
Yeah.
But like how does that move, like how big was that jump for you, like from a personal perspective, like because you kind of like it's throwing you out of your comfort zone one more time.
Completely. On so many levels, you know. So firstly, BBC didn't even have an office in Joburg. So we had this tiny little office. There was like three of us when we opened doors, and I literally had to start the marketing department.
That's dope.
It was so daunting and so scary, and that's where the trust comes from, because
you needed a partnership that
you trusted, that you knew, that you knew how they were going to work.
Yeah.
And it was more than anything, it was scary.
Sure, I can only imagine.
Yeah, and truth be told, I didn't have that much experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Before, I mean, you're sitting at DSTV, you have a massive team.
Yeah.
You have 25 people above you, and you have 25 people below you.
And now it's just
And now it's just you. And you're going, okay, what now? So you look for that partnership. You know, you look for that person you can trust. And truth be told, I went the safe route.
Yeah.
I didn't start with the Odd Number.
Okay.
I started with a different agency.
Oh, okay.
Completely against my gut, though.
Yeah.
I said, let me rather be safe.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out.
Really?
2 weeks, maybe 2 months later, we launched some little campaign, and I just knew from there.
That this is not how you wanted to do this.
Yeah. And the connection wasn't there. The creativity I was looking for wasn't there. The energy, the spark, the life I was looking for wasn't there.
That's insane.
And funny, when I was still having conversations with the BBC, and the reason why I took the job was because the challenge was so clear.
Yeah.
It's this brand that there's a perception in market that it's quite a stuffy,
yes.
Grey, old,
boring. I was going to get to that. Yeah.
That's I'm quite confident to say it, you know, that is how BBC is perceived in South Africa.
Yeah.
So my work was cut out for me. We need to grow, and we need to grow into the middle market.
The middle market, that's right.
You know, so automatically it just made sense for me. That's and it so was dope. A massive challenge, because how do you take this very English...
In its
absolute essence and core, how do you take this British brand and make it resonate with your local South African market? Not even your premium market. Because that's a pretty easy job.
Yeah.
Your middle market. How do we grow that base?
And that's a challenge and a half.
Yeah.
Right.
And hence Spoo was on speed dial.
Yeah.
And the next best move was to
the top point odd number. Sure. Yeah. Well, sure, that's a dope story, because I mean I think, like you said, it's an inherently like very British brand, and not even like, I mean, because obviously like you have competitors like your ITVs and whatever that seem like they're also like younger and feel like they'd gotten before that, they'd gotten the whole younger thing and more approachable thing easier, and they'd gotten it down before you guys had.
Yeah.
But I do really think that, you know, like I've heard some of the spots for like Strictly Come Dancing, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
And I was like, whoa. You know, like a couple of years ago, it felt like it didn't make sense to hear, you know, FNX spot for Strictly Come Dancing.
For BBC.
For the BBC. You know what I mean?
What?
And exactly. I feel like it's obviously kudos to you. You know what I mean? And your team for being able to see the possibility and being able to do stuff like that. But what have been the difficulties? Because I mean, I'm sure like the cultural shift, right? Like to where you kind of have to. I mean, somebody's had to explain FNX spots to you. Now you get on a plane. And you get on Skype and you have to speak to someone in England about. So I promise you, this FNX script is going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must say, I've got a brilliant team in London, a fantastic team, and they trust me.
Right.
So I think that when you open an office in South Africa, you have an objective that we need to localize this thing.
That's right.
We need to make this thing more, you know, communicate. Like, we need to communicate with the audience.
Yeah.
We need to make it more conversational.
And create a relationship with the people of the country.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think they've put a lot of trust in me. And when I go and present the next spots, I usually take somebody with me.
Yeah.
You know,
I should record those spots. And you know what I mean? The meetings, so that we can use those on the radio.
And you know, that's actually the easy part of the job.
Yeah.
The hardest part is making the guys over there in London understand what our culture is about and why the humor is going to work.
Yes.
Why this particular phrase will work.
Yeah.
Because the two cultures are so different.
Exactly.
That's the hardest part. The Vernac stuff is easy because nobody can really say no, but that pronunciation is wrong. you know. So that's the easy part. The hard part is selling the thinking behind it, selling the cultural nuance
and the insights and the nuances.
Exactly. Because that's where we're so different.
Sure. And I mean that must mean that, you know, like the strategy team and the strategy kind of department becomes hella important to you guys.
Yeah. No, completely. Yeah. Completely. But I think we did Bake Off last year.
Yeah.
And the campaign.
Oh, that's the one that had Donovan Goliath. The one who looks like Nina Hayes. It wasn't me. It was a caller.
I'm going to tease him about that forever.
It was not me. It was somebody who called it to the show. So Donovan is not me, my man. Thank you.
Look, strategy is very important. But, but you know, with
the Bake Off.
With Bake Off, for example, we gave the strategy over to the Odd Number, actually.
Oh,
and
right.
They did the strat.
That's dope.
For the campaign.
Yeah.
And you know, the insights that came out, the work that was created. I mean, we had to eventually split the work between the Odd Number and our internal agency.
Right.
So it became a little bit confusing, but the strategy came from them.
Yeah.
And I thought it was on point.
Excellent.
To the T.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I love about working with that team.
Yeah.
Is that they know this market.
That is so good.
And they make my job so much easier, and they make me look good.
Wow. Huge shout out. I mean, guys, I don't think you want your client to be saying like anything less than that about you. I think that's really, really dope. Yeah. Can you notice how I'm trying not to swear a lot? You know what I mean?
No. I'm all about it. I'm not swearing though.
Yeah.
But you please.
but I was saying, like, you know, it's that relationship between client and agency, I think is, it's probably the big underlying conversation that we're all not having about the difficulties that kind of everyone has in studios. Because I think that, you know, it's I feel like it's become it's a strained relationship in a lot of times because of the nervousness that comes from clients and then the nervousness that gets transferred to agencies, right? But I get the sense that, you know, the fact that you are quite, it feels like you're quite comfortable in your space and you're quite comfortable in what your mandate is, that nervousness doesn't do that. Do you think that you know, that the energy that comes from the client is important kind of for how the agency responds to your piece?
Completely. Like I said earlier, I mean, I opened the marketing department in South Africa, which means I relied heavily on my creative agency. Yeah. I didn't have a brand manager or a marketing assistant or anything in country with me.
Yeah.
So organically, they became...
They became your whole team.
They became my team. So not only were they my agency, but they were my marketing team as well.
Sure.
So, you know, I would literally call up client service and be like, I need X, Y, and Z, which you would probably ask your brand managers.
Yeah.
So I think that's built the trust quite well. And it also built the respect.
Right.
A lot of times, and I can speak from experience, you sit in meetings with client agency and the respect is lost. You know, and I think that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that is so important, is that this becomes, you know, that without this team, you actually can't deliver.
Yeah.
And you've selected this team for a reason. Like with any partnership, you've selected this partner or this team because there's something in them that you love.
That's right.
And the minute you start losing that respect and you start meddling too much and just destroying it, you lose that essence of what you actually love about them.
Speaking straight to my heart here, Cherise. I mean, no, like, absolutely. And I think it's that. You know, like the moment where like the client kind of also walks in and they kind of already think they have what the solution is, and don't give, you know, the partner, I'll call him that, the responsibility to carry out the stuff that you know that they're good at.
Yeah.
It's the respect kind of being eroded, right?
Completely.
It's the respect that you kind of need to go, cool, I do think I know what the final outcome should be, but you're the expert at this, right? You go and tell me what you think the solution is going to be.
Correct.
That's insane. But did you find now, I mean, I'll kind of make reference to, you know, your previous existences as well. Like, having been in a big marketing department, because yours is obviously still growing, right? Having been in an establishment that has a big, huge marketing department that has a huge hierarchy, did you find that it was harder to instill kind of those values? You know what I mean?
Completely. You've got so many personalities in one room.
Yeah.
And you could love an idea.
Yeah.
The next person could hate it.
Yeah.
The person above you could hate it too.
Yeah.
Which means you are flatlined.
Sure.
So. You know, in a bigger department, your voice is a lot...
It's drowned out.
It's completely drowned out. Whereas in smaller departments... I mean, and I'm only speaking from experience in one other business.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's companies that's and it's quite different. But I find that in your bigger companies or clients... There's so many voices in one room.
Yeah.
And often you even get people outside of your marketing team.
Ah.
Suddenly the CEO is sitting in the room. You're like, but...
Yeah.
What?
And he's making pronunciation calls as well. I was like, I don't know if that guy's pronouncing that properly.
Is that blue right? I meant green.
Yes, green. Let's move on very quickly.
Green right.
Woo, Cherise. Anyway, no, that's cool. Guys, I'm still hanging out with Miss Cherise Latif on the show. Hit us up. As you can tell, you know, it's very chill. We're having a really cool conversation. Hit us up on Twitter. That's @Blaxem. It's @BLAXEM on clipcentral.com as well. So I mean, I'm very interested, you know, to kind of go... I feel like agencies, we feel like the complaining place is very easy for us. It's become the first place we go to. You know, when we put out a bad piece of work, and we say, "It's the line." You know what I mean? And part of it is right. Part of it is because, but I actually think it's because the conversation that you're having with the client has kind of deteriorated to a certain place, or you just never built that respect.
And the opposite of that is true.
Yeah.
The minute there's a bad campaign, we blame agency.
Right. So, because it's easier, right? Yeah. It's easy to say, no, it's not me. It's the guys that I hired.
You know, I told that agency.
Yeah. and I think that's it's a big part of why we're ending up with people dancing on TV. You know what I mean? And And I mean, well, let's get into that for a little bit. Like, how do you think that happens? You know what I mean? Like, so do you find that there are times when and I mean, we won't talk about you specifically, but like where in other relationships, you walk up to the client with these ideas. You have three ideas, and you say, cool, they're nuanced, they have all these insights, and they say, yeah, but can't they dance? You know what I mean? and then now the agency is forced to go back and make a dancing ad. Like, how would you give an agency a piece of advice regarding something like that? So like, someone tells you, let's go and do a dancing advert. Like, yeah. Like, how do you think we should respond to that?
So it's quite difficult because brands around SA are forced to move into a, you know, often a genre they've never or a group of people they've never catered to before.
Yeah. Or never even thought they might have to cater for at some
point. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They had their audience, their target audience, LSM 9 to 10.
That's what's up.
You know?
Yeah.
and now suddenly they forced to speak to a different audience. A lot of those marketing managers that are still in those same positions have never spoken to that audience before. So they themselves don't know what the essence, what the nuance is.
So they can't even trust their own guts about that.
They don't know. Yeah. So for them, they watch the news or they watch something on TV or they've been exposed to one or two pieces of content.
Yeah.
And suddenly they
do one of those immersions. There's immersions where you go to Sakumzi and you spend the day and you go to Mandela's house.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you speak to one or two people and now
people are dancing there, right?
Correct.
And Sakumzi people are dancing. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So you form your opinion based on such a little bit of information.
Right.
But because you've always been the marketing manager,
you've
always been in this role, you know your shit. Suddenly, you're telling the agency what to do. And this is where that trust thing comes in.
Yeah.
Know your strengths. Know your strengths as the client. Know what you're good at. And where you know, honestly, and you need to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Where you know this is not my strongest point, find the partnership or the agency that is strong in that area.
Right.
You know, if you are a very black-driven agency and suddenly, or product, and suddenly you're expected to deliver something to a very high LSM.
Yeah, you would do the same.
Do the same thing.
Yeah.
Go to an agency that you know caters good about with that to stuff. That audience.
Absolutely.
So it's about being honest.
Yeah.
And You can't honestly learn, you know, a complete group of people within a couple of days or weeks or by reading
a textbook. That's so true.
You know, it's not in a textbook.
And maybe that's the honesty conversation is the one that people are not actually being honest about.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You kind of go, I kind of maybe am a bit out of my depths here, but I think that, you know, like a lot of agencies in SA, we all know are struggling with, you know, actually like blooding enough creatives internally to be able to deliver on that, but they still won't say, maybe we're not the expert at this kind of thing.
Exactly.
And that's when they deliver people dancing.
Exactly. We just need to be honest.
Yeah.
We just need to be honest and get the right people in the table. Around
insane.
The table.
It's insane that we have to... Yeah. It's insane that we actually have a conversation about honesty. You know what I mean? Because it feels like that's actually how, especially when you are actually talking to all of South Africa pretty much every day, that you kind of have to be honest with yourself and honest with them so you can actually build a trust with those people as well. That's insane. It really is.
The hardest thing, and I mean, I face that problem every single day.
Yeah.
The BBC.
Right.
You know, I cannot be seen as trying too hard.
Right.
Because the minute I shove vernac and local nuances and shove it all down your throat, you're like, but...
But you're the BBC. You're still the BBC.
What are you doing? You know?
Sure.
So there's such a fine line between speaking to an audience, pushing too hard, or just being completely oblivious and, you know, doing your own thing anyway.
It must be an amazing balancing act, obviously, that you have to do, you know, because trying too hard is also the other conversation that we're always having. You know, it's always like, but like if I pretend to know, I speak like that because, you know, that's the tone I get a lot in meetings. but it's because that comes across as the place that we... You know what I mean? It feels like trying too hard is a fear that we have. Where I think that it's better that you ask, that somebody tries to pull you back. You know what I mean? But also it's obviously the balancing act where you don't feel like, you know, I'm being too much of an asshole. But yeah, I think it's a very important part of the conversation that we all need to have, that agencies need to have with themselves and clients. Because another thing is that people are saying, but clients are not transforming, why should we transform? You know what I mean? And you're saying about the marketing managers that feel like they've been in that position for a while. Do you think that, I mean, in the circles that you hang in, I mean, you're hanging different circles than I do, obviously, but do you think that in those circles, it still does feel like the clients themselves are not transforming?
Are your client circles still very white?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So there are some brands that, yeah, that haven't evolved at,
right,
all.
Yeah.
All they do is they change the brief up, right, and they think that's evolution.
Ah.
So they just write a different brief.
Yeah.
Suddenly you have a different audience. You have a different group that you're targeting. Suddenly you want, yeah, something different compared to what you've wanted in the past.
Yeah.
That's not really transformation.
Yeah.
Well,
it's cosmetics in
the, yeah, yeah, it's the biggest, just, yeah, tweaks here,
right,
and there.
Yeah.
And the and you see that in the brand as well. You know, you see the brand changing a little bit here and there, or changing, but it's not an organic change.
Right.
It doesn't feel like a natural change.
Yeah.
It feels like we went from here to here. And that's also sometimes difficult for the audience,
yeah,
you know, because they're used to seeing this brand in one light and now we're suddenly a different thing.
Yes.
So it needs to be a bit of a transformation. It needs to organically grow into its next,
right,
into,
right,
its,
right,
next stage in its life. And you can't force it.
Yeah.
It needs to happen naturally.
Mm.
Clients, I think, look, I work with a lot of different
yeah,
TV stations.
Yes,
I'm friends with the guys at MultiChoice.
Yeah.
You know, and so no, I don't feel like it's still too white.
Right.
I do feel like we've got a fair representation of everybody.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. Fairish.
Fairish.
Yeah.
And I do feel like we even see it in the TV landscape. You know,
yeah,
you see your channels that are attracting a new audience.
Yeah.
You see how well they're doing.
That's right.
And you see I sit with the marketing managers of those channels as,
yeah,
well, and I see where they're going with this thing.
Yeah.
And it's great. You can't also expect a cake net, for example,
yeah,
to completely change over,
exactly,
because that's
yeah,
the trend that's happening right now.
Yeah.
We still need to be true to who we are.
Yeah.
But big ups to businesses like MultiChoice that,
yeah,
have catered for everybody, that has got a Mzansi Magic, that has got a Cake Net, that
that's
has got,
right,
an Mnet,
that's right,
that has got all the, that has got a BBC on its platform.
Absolutely.
That has got American channels,
yeah,
and
it's got Lesotho TV.
It's got Lesotho,
yeah,
TV.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a whole lot of different channels on one platform, and I think that's great.
Mm.
We just need to be true and stay true to what
that's,
we are.
That's so true. It's funny you should say that, because you know, listening to a conversation about the other guy down the road at the other broadcaster, Saudi, and about, oh, that, about the whole thing. Yes, okay, that guy. About how's 90% thing, you know, like at face value, like to artists, it makes sense, you know. And,
yeah,
and even I was one of those people as well who said, you know what, guys, this makes sense. So I don't understand why we're mad at this guy for that particular thing. 90% because, you know, you don't hear American people, you know, picketing that they want to hear South African music, you know, and that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Until the side of the argument was, but now you must understand, you're also imposing that onto Lotus,
no,
FM,
yeah,
right? Now Lotus FM plays Bollywood esque music and what that and what,
yeah,
and whatnot, and we don't make enough of that in South Africa,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then there are platforms like Metro FM and all those commercial stations,
yeah,
that have been making money off of international music
content,
and all that,
correct,
right? So now you're saying those guys must do 90%, and apparently that's one of the biggest reasons why they lost about 200 million because of the blanket approach. So I take your point. I take your point about the fact that, you know, we can't expect also everyone to do everything that, you know what I mean?
Everybody's doing, yeah.
But
yeah,
but I do think that there is time and there is space for acceleration, right? We have to accelerate it at a certain point. So it doesn't feel like we're so waiting for it to be organic, you know what I mean? Because that's organic, yeah, is also a very hipster,
yeah,
word.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's like, it'll just happen.
Come on, I like
it's like,
word,
let it slide. It'll happen at its own pace. You know, that's one thing, but
yeah,
but I feel like because we're kind of in crisis mode, you know, like the industry is kind of in crisis mode, and we have to, you know, accelerate that.
I think you need to understand your product.
Yeah.
Does your product fit this new mold?
Yeah.
Or not? If it works, then great.
Right.
You know, change your direction, change your path, and go into a new stream.
Yeah.
Obviously, do it respectfully. Do it with the insights. Do it with the information that you need.
Absolutely.
Do your research. Do all those things that you need. I'm not saying just get up and,
yeah,
change,
yeah,
your mind. Do all the background work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
But if you have a product that in its very core is not going to work,
yeah,
at all, ever,
accept, as they say in the streets.
Exactly. You know, let's not.
Yeah.
And it's quite ironic coming from
yeah,
somebody from the BBC.
Yeah.
You know, saying
that maybe this product was never going to fit.
Because, yeah,
that's what I was going to ask you. Like, you know, like because sometimes it is the challenge. It's the challenge of kind of going, there must be a way. There has to be a way where I can make this thing relatable.
Yeah.
But also, like there is a fine line between relatable and,
correct,
you know what, just shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah,
guys, it's so amazing. Like I said, we've been having a great chat, but you'd be amazed. The hour is almost up.
Really?
It literally flies by. But we never got into where you're from. Like, you told us where you studied. Where are you from? Where's Cherise from?
Well, so my family is actually from El Dorado Park.
Okay. Shout out Elders. What's going on? Shout out. Yeah.
So I was born there, but spent very little time there.
Yeah.
When I was about 4 or 5 years old, moved out, moved to the East End.
Ah, okay. Shout out the East End. Hey, what's going on?
Why was it different? So actually grew up in the East End.
Yeah.
Went to school there. And then later moved to the West End. I've been everywhere.
Shout out the West End. Shout out West End.
Now I'm living in the North.
See the difference between East End and West End. Did you feel that? Shout out the West End. What's going on?
Yeah,
the West is best, guys.
It is West. Yeah. No, so I mean, I did my schooling in the East, then moved to the West End, and that felt like home, really. You
right.
know, that's where all my friends are from. Yeah. That's where my family's from. That's where I spend most of my time.
Yeah.
That's where I hang out.
That's great. That's really, really cool. You see, I mean, I asked you that because and I always mention this on the show that like I always dig having these conversations, and then like I'm hoping that someone out there, you know, some kid from Elders or some kid from the West End is going, you know, if it's possible for Cherise, it must be possible for me as well. You know, and that all the stuff that we're talking about, I mean, to be able to have influence on a global brand like the BBC, you know, can stem from El Dorado Park. You know what I mean? It can have its roots kind of all over Joburg, and I think that it's important so that because what we do has historically felt like it was for other people. You know what I mean? It's always felt like it didn't belong to all of us. You know what I mean?
Completely.
And I'm hoping that because of this conversation, some kid out there can also go, yeah, man.
I hope so.
You know what I mean? And I think that we're on the way to getting there. As long as well, schools like Vega and AAA still cost a mortgage to get into. Yeah. You know what I mean? Then we have to have these conversations about accessibility, and how everyone can actually have access to what it is that we do. So that's really, really dope. So yeah, like I said, we're literally almost out of time. But before I let you go, Cherise, like, what would you like if there's one thing you had all the creatives of this country in one room, right? You know, and if there's one thing that you want to tell us from the perspective of a client who loves great creative work, what would that one thing be?
Let me think about it for a second. I know time is money, but
yeah.
I think it would be what we said originally.
Yeah.
Was be more daring.
That's right.
You know, step out of the box.
Yeah.
And be prepared. You know, a client, you can have the greatest idea, but when your ideas are presented in a and we as clients, well, I mean, personally, I can see when you guys haven't put effort into this thing and you haven't really prepared.
Yeah.
Automatically, you've lost me.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
So have those great ideas and just know how
and
to sell it.
Them.
Package it properly.
Yeah.
Finesse it. Speak to your ECDs and your CDs and let them help you.
That's right.
You know, package that product so that by the time you sell it to your client, you've blown them away on every single level.
That is
and
so dope.
And I think that's a lot of the time what brands like I See a Different You, The Odd Number, Ogilvy does so well.
Yeah, it's the packaging.
It's the packaging. It's the packaging of that. Because a lot of the time, if you're confident and you're speaking a load of shit, I'm not going to buy your rubbish.
That's
because,
right.
I mean, if you're confident and you're selling rubbish, I'm going to buy it because you're so confident and you're driving this thing in. And you're selling it to me in ways that I'm like, oh crap, okay, I believe this.
Yeah.
But the minute you're selling a great product, a great idea, but you're just not confident and you don't believe in this thing, I'm going to see straight through it. I'm going to say, I'm not confident in putting this thing on radio. So.
That is so dope. That is so dope. Thank you so much, Cherise, for coming to hang out today. It's been, it's literally flew by, you know, like I think we've had a great chat, quite an insightful chat. And I'm hoping someone out there as well in Adland is going, you know what, maybe not all clients are up ed, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Maybe there is a way for us to still be making great work. Because I think generally we want to love you. We do love you because, you know, you guys pay the bills as well, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I think that the relationships get strained. Because I just feel like we're all kind of at a very weird time. So thanks so much for coming to hang out.
Thank
you. Miss Cherise Lateef, guys, who came to hang out with us today. G-Man the Ad Man. Remember, get the podcast. It's on cliffcentral.com. We actually didn't swear too much. I kind of swore, I think, once or twice. So you can play it for your mom. Play it around the house. Play it at the agency. You know what I mean? Take it to your clients. You know what I mean? Let them listen to it in the car sometimes. But I think we had a really, really great chat. And thanks again for coming through. It's been another dope week of advertising.
Get out there and remember, take care of each of yourselves, take care of those briefs, and take care of each other. It's your man, G-Man the Ad Man, because if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom! G-Man the Ad Man. CliffCentral.com.